Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado as we present a biblical world and life view against the slow but steady decline of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world, and a worldview, a social view that is taught by the universities, the political systems, the corporate systems, our entire world that is opposed to a biblical outlook on what it is to be a family, what it is to be a father, what's it like to be a husband and wife coming together, having kids, developing a family economy, and discipling our children in the Word of God as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. These things are antithetical to the system today. So again, friends, light and darkness, black and white, we see major differences between God's word, God's thinking, God's approach to family, faith, freedom, and the family, church, and state, as opposed to what the world is teaching us. And I'm going to share probably the most outstanding irony I think I've ever mentioned on this program. This one's rich. And it comes from a Sex and the City star. Now, you remember Sex and the City? It began, I think, in 1998 to 2004. It represented something of the rising zeitgeist of the modern feminist and the independent woman of the 1990s. It glorified homosexuality and lesbianism somewhat, but more so, it glorified the single career woman with four abortions, climbing the ladder, sort of having fun in the big city.
You can have it all mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I am strong. I am woman. Hear me roar.
Yeah, and I can get away with whatever I want to get away with, and right. I can make my own choices.
There are no rules.
I am pro-choice, and I can choose this. I can choose that. I can do what I want, and I don't need to be bound by the ties of marriage and family.
Isn't it interesting, in light of the Harvey Weinstein scandal and subsequent revelations of abuse of women in Hollywood specifically, that Sex and the City is considered to be the standard.
But the gloss is disappearing. The Piper...
The lip gloss is kind of coming off.
The makeup is coming off. That's right, yeah.
And behind the makeup are people with frowns and sad eyes and tears.
And the Piper...
The mascara is running.
The Piper has invoiced. The Piper is invoiced. What do we mean? After a while, you need to pay the Piper. Of course, you got to pay the Piper. I mean, come on, we got to pay the Piper. The Piper is invoiced, my friends, especially on this one. Again, one of the greatest ironies we have ever shared on this radio program in the history of 15 years of broadcasting. Here it is from Fox News. Just came out this morning in this morning's press. Sex and the City star Kim Cattrall claims that the show prevented her from having children. Hello. Here, the Sex and the City star Kim Cattrall, some 12 years after the last episode of Sex and the City, Kim Cattrall claims that that show, which show? Sex and the City, prevented her from having children. Now get this, friends. The Sex and the City program was all about women living the existentialistic, it's all about me lifestyle. And it's all about my career. It's all about me. It's all about me climbing the corporate ladder and making my own choices and having sex with whatever I want to have sex with, and I get away with it. And friends, that's the Sex and the City program that was aired between 1998 and 2004. And now the star herself is regretting that she didn't have children, and the production schedule for the show, which was about not getting married and not having kids, disallowed her from having her children.
She said, I had 19-hour days.
Oh, she did.
How could I do that?
I didn't have time to do it.
Right.
So here it is. Sex and the City program is all about women living the existentialist lifestyle, not having kids. And the star herself is regretting not having kids while she was involved in the production of this show, which was all about not having kids.
She also goes on to say that she never was friends with any of the co-stars.
I know.
So here's this show is about having these close bonds with single fellow women on their rise up the corporate ladder and not being bound by family or children or any ties like that. And now she reveals she didn't have children and she didn't have friends even while she was doing
this. The show was all about the destruction of relationship, the destruction of covenant, the covenant family, covenant relationship, living the lonely existentialistic lifestyle east of Eden. As Cain, the original Sex and the City star, as Cain was the vagabond, he destroyed a relationship with his own family, became a vagabond, wandered in the wilderness east of Eden, and built a city. The anonymous Sex in the City built by Cain. And now here, the star of the program, the one who led the zeitgeist, folks, she's the one. She was the teacher. She was the mentor. She was the one leading the pack. She was the great purveyor of these terrible ideas.
She was the alpha female.
She was the one that brought the curse to millions upon millions of other young women who went to college, got the career, and followed in the footsteps of Kim Cattrall. And Kim Cattrall now is finally regretting she didn't have kids, because the production schedule for Sex and the City, which was about not getting married and not having kids, disallowed her from having kids. The irony is rich. The irony is rich on this, my friends. We'll be back with more to talk about this zeitgeist. And of course, this has infected tens of millions. Not very many people have exempted themselves from this zeitgeist in the last 15 years. And we'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today as we speak the rich irony of the star of Sex and the City now finally admitting that she couldn't have kids, and she regrets not having kids now at 60 years of age. She was working the production schedule of Sex and the City in the late 90s and didn't have time to have kids on the 19-hour schedules. She worked as they produced the program that encouraged tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of women around the country and around the world not to have kids, but to take the career-minded, existentialistic, single lifestyle of the apartment dweller and the corporate ladder climber of the 1990s and 2000s as the way to go, the value of our generation. And, of course, family virtually destroyed in the present day. The millennial generation, 57% of women having kids outside of the bonds of wedlock, up from 6% in 1960. The problem is 10 times worse, 10 times worse, thanks to programs like Sex in the City, a total social annihilation, the undermining of entire civilization happening around us right now. And now we have those that led the zeitgeist within the media and within the pop culture, the television production system. We find them somewhat regretting what they did. Here's another article from the UK Daily Mail from a editorialist named Claudia Connell. And here's what she says. This is the UK Daily Mail. And she says something similar to what the Sex and the City star said about her regrets. And here is Claudia Connell, who says, at the age of 46, I accept that my opportunity to have a family has gone.
And the chances of meeting a decent man aren't looking too rosy either. I can console myself that I am not alone because there are many, there are millions upon millions who are living alone. I can console myself that I am alone in the world because
I'm together with other lonely people.
Because I'm not even together with them.
No.
They exist out there.
Yeah.
They live on their own islands. And I can be happy that I'm not the only miserable, lonely person on earth. Figures released last week by the Office of National Statistics show that there are now 7.6 million people living alone in the UK. The figure represents a mind-blowing 50% increase since the mid-1990s when Sex and the City was just getting started. A 50% increase over a period of 15 years, my friends. The figure represents a mind-blowing 50% increase since the mid-1990s. It is the fastest rising group of loners. 2.5 million people are between the ages of 45 and 64. That is those that were watching Sex in the City in 1998. This is the fastest rising group of loners in the UK and America. Now 2.5 million people living all by themselves in the UK between the ages of 45 and 64. Well, my friends, these are some of the regrets of this woman. She says, "For me, the single girl lifestyle that I embraced and celebrated with so much enthusiasm in the 80s and 90s has lost much of the gloss and is starting to look a little hollow. I was part of the Sex and the City generation, successful, feisty women who made their own money, answered to no one, and lived life to the full. When it came to men, our attitude to them was the same as it was towards the latest must-have handbag. Only the best would do. What none of us spent too long thinking about in our 20s and 30s was how our lifestyles would impact on us. Once we reached middle age, when we didn't want to go out and get sozzled on cocktails and had replaced our stilettos and skinny jeans with flat shoes and elastical waists. When I look around at all my single friends, and there are a lot of them, not one of them is truly happy being on her own. Suddenly, all those women are pitied for giving up their freedom for marriage and children are the ones feeling sorry for us." Wow, they're paying the piper. They're paying the piper, my friends. And you know the zeitgeist. You know what's happening, friends. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you receive the word of God, unless you realize what Jesus said was right, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow Jesus, take on the roles, the gender roles that God has assigned for you in his word. And unless you take on God's word, God's ways, then you will be so miserable. The zeitgeist is where, well, Jack and Jill went up the hill to catch a pail of water. Jack fell down, broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Jack gets hooked on porn from the time he's 16 years old, along with the other 80% of 16, 18-year-old young men hooked on pornography. Jack gets hooked on porn from the time he's 16 until he's 38, and he'll make that 44. He plays computer games. He doesn't get serious about life until he's 48, and then he thinks about getting married. Jill gets her degree, gets on birth control pills, gets her Sex and the City job. She hooks up. She freezes her eggs. She gets married at 42, maybe, and hopes that somehow she might get pregnant. All right, so that's the zeitgeist. That's what the college scene is about. That's what the media presents. That's it. It's the Gloria Steinem worldview. It's talked about in the 1970s. Here's Gloria Steinem. "The liberated woman has sex before marriage and a job after." You remember Gloria Steinem?
Yep.
Ms. Magazine. Betty Friedan, the great feminist philosopher of the 1960s, wrote the book in 1963, The Feminine Mystique. She said, this is the philosophy of the mother of the modern feminist, the mother of the modern divorce movement, the mother of the 57% of kids born without fathers, the grandmother of all of the 57% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% when when Betty Friedan started to write the feminine mystique. Here's the mother of modern feminism, the mother of modern divorce, the mother of the shack up, the hookup, the mother of the sex before marriage movement, the mother of the abortion movement that began in 1973, the mother of the birth control pill that has resulted in hundreds of millions of dead bodies over a period of 45 years. Betty Friedan, her philosophy is this: a woman has got to be able to say and not feel guilty, who am I and what do I want out of life? Ah, oh, she mustn't feel selfish and neurotic if she wants goals of her own outside of husband and children. All right, so that's the self-centered existentialistic worldview that drives and drives and drives the mind of the modern woman. And the results of that self-centered life that throws off the leadership of husband and the oneness of the household economy and takes for herself her own life, her own career, her own choices in life. Well, nothing but misery on the other side of that. Well, this is, of course, the idea that man or woman is the master of their own lives. They will determine their own purpose in life, their own basic plans and purposes and objectives. And my friends, I'm here to tell you that that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we need to be the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and submit ourselves to the roles that God has laid out for us in his word. And 1 Timothy 5:8 presents it to the man that he is responsible for the material well-being of the home, period. The man is responsible for the material well-being of the home. The man is the dominion taker, and the woman is the helpmeet for her husband. That's what's presented in God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 5 presents the woman as the oikos despoteo in the home. Paul says, I would that women be married. He says, I would that the younger women be married. Why? So that they will be the oikos despoteos. You say, well, what is an oikos despoteo? Home managers. Some call them keepers at home. Or those that oversee the home, those that are having children and overseeing the children and loving their husbands and caring for the household economy. This is what is presented in the Word of God as the standard. And of course, what we get here is the family economy as well, where the husband and the wife are the axe head on the axe handle that form that lean, mean economic unit. In fact, the word economics comes from oikonomia, oikos nomia. Oikos is family, nomia is law or vision. That is, economics is the vision of the family. The law of the family, the basic economic unit, is not the individual. It is not the Sex and the City individual. The basic fundamental economic unit is the family, not the individual. So, as the axe head comes on the axe handle, as the husband marries the wife, they come together as that lean, mean oikonomia machine. And the heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. So you say, now, wait a minute. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her in all of her economic work so that he shall have no need of spoil. That sounds like he is somewhat connected to her and she is somewhat connected to him in the economic vision of the home. Yeah, you got it. Now, that's the biblical vision as opposed to the Marxist vision that completely individuates the individual and destroys the family. And friends, that's been the philosophy that's been imposed on the modern world. Here's one more point. Childlessness is considered a curse in the Bible. It's a negative. It's a sad condition. Now, again, we don't want to be condemnatory towards those who don't have children. There are some who are blessed with more wealth than others. There are some who are blessed with more children than others. But to say that we desire to be cursed, we desire to not have children, is counter to a biblical ethical perspective on these things. Genesis 30 and verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or I die. Exodus 23, 26. Here's the promise. Here's the blessing. In Exodus 23, 26, you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread, your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. There shall be no one miscarrying or barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. And again, Deuteronomy 7:14, God gives us this blessing. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your livestock. Well, there it is. There's the promises of blessing, children, a blessing. And of course, those women who are writing for these secular newspapers, by the way, these aren't Christian. As far as I can tell, none of these women that we've quoted in these articles, Bill, have confessed faith in Christ and have come to repentance on the basic issues. They just, by common grace, have come to the realization that they're cursed. And they have not received the satisfaction of fulfillment that comes by common grace in the provision of children.
And it's too late for them. It's too late for them. And they recognize
They're heartbroken over
it. Yes. You can see it in their faces and the pictures that are taken of them. You can tell that they have regrets.
You know, Proverbs 31, I referred to it earlier, Bill. It's such an important chapter. I include a great deal on this in our Proverbs Bible study guides because it's so crucial for our daughters to understand God's vision, God's optimum vision, the thing that God has set out as the standard, the thing to seek after, the thing to pray for as we raise our daughters and as our daughters turn into godly women, virtuous women.
Now, I've pulled that up. And which version would you prefer? Would you prefer the ESV or the NIV or the NASB or the KJV or the NKJV?
Okay. Yeah.
Which version do you want to use?
I was going to read it in the PCV.
Excuse me?
I was going to read it in the PCV.
The PCV. Now, the ESV is the English Standard Version, as opposed to the French Substandard Version.
This is the...
There's the NASB, the Back Pew Baptist Bible. There's the NIV, the New Age Bible. There's the KJV. That's the version that Jesus carried. Uh-huh. And there's the NKJV. That's the version his disciples carried. Yeah. But I've never heard of the PCV. What's that?
The PCV is the version I'm going to read.
What is that?
That would be the politically correct version of Proverbs 31.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this.
I think this would be helpful because sometimes when you're teaching, it's better to see the thesis by way of the antithesis. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so here is the optimum woman, the virtuous woman, as presented by the modern zeitgeist. All right, here it is. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her value to the company yields 1.5% to the annual profits. Mm-hmm. The heart of her corporate boss doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need to spoil. She will do her management good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks birth control pills, a lonely apartment, and a dog, and works for a 401k plan. She is like the sailors on ships. She bringeth her boyfriends and girlfriends home from the bars. She rises also while it is yet night, so she can catch the 5:15 transit into the big city for her career job. She considers a condo and buys it. And she shall be in debt for the rest of her life. She girds her loins with sexy garments and seeks a little approval from the eyes of flaky guys. She perceives that her makeup is never good enough, and she is always overly concerned about her weight. She layeth her hands to the elliptical at 24-hour fitness, and she is constantly exercising her abs. She does not serve the poor in the church, and she is too busy to pay attention to the needs of her neighbors. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for she has no household. She makes herself coverings of Versace and Gucci. Her clothing doesn't quite do the job. Her boyfriend is known in the Guild Wars online game community, where he sitteth around playing video games all day long. Feminist pride and immodesty are her clothing, and she shall not rejoice in the time to come. She Facebooks without wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of argumentation and complaint. She forgets the way of a functional nuclear household by her lifestyle, her media, and her educational training. Her children do not rise up and call her blessed because they did not survive the womb. And neither doth her husband praise her, for she is divorced as of 10 years ago. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou hast failed them all. That is the PCV version of Proverbs 31. Do you see the difference, Bill, between the biblical approach to the godly woman and the Sex in the City woman as presented by the PCV?
You know, I think it's an obvious conclusion that we need to return to a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Because It's not that you're independent. It's part that you have a biblical view of God, a biblical view of self, a relationship with others, and with the world around you. That's what needs to be corrected.
I think it's so important for people to understand that when you go to college, you typically get the wrong worldview. Now, that may not be every single college, but generally speaking, friends, the average college is not presenting a biblical worldview in the science class, in the history class, in the social science classes. They're not bringing a biblical outlook, a biblical basis, a biblical purpose for life. And they're not bringing to bear a biblical social view either. That is, they're not assuming a biblical social view in terms of gender roles, in terms of the family, the importance of the family, the importance of the church. Rather, they're assuming that the individual and the individual relationship to the corporate structure of the state-controlled business world is all that matters. And that social view is wrong. It's wrong and it's wrong. And Bill, as you mentioned, I think the basic problem is materialism. It's the self-centeredness of the age and the materialism of the age in which people are more concerned about the money they make and the things they buy for themselves than they are for Jesus and the kingdom of God. I think of the young woman, who decided to volunteer at an orphanage in India. And you remember the Hindu mobs that came down and burned down the churches and burned down the orphanage. And they came to burn down the orphanage where this young woman was working. And she ran back into the orphanage to save a few of the children. And as she ran out, that mob threw her back into the flames of this orphanage and she burned to death for her love for Jesus and her love for these kids. Bill, now there's a woman that was not living the Sex and the City lifestyle. She was living the life. She found the right life to live. In a world of materialism and self, she gave it up. She denied herself. She took up her cross. She followed the Savior, the Lord Jesus, and lived the most fulfilled life that anybody could ever live. And that's the point we want to bring back today. Ah, the emptiness, the vanity of living life for yourself. It's been proven. It's been testified to by those who don't even know Jesus. Friends, the Jesus lifestyle is the one that you want. I don't care if it's the young man listening to the program who's given to computer games and online pornography, or some self-centered, career-minded woman who's not thinking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first and denying herself and taking up her cross and having 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 inconvenient children whom she can love and whom she can give up her life for as she teaches her children the word of God and disciples these little ones for Jesus in her home. Now, she may do that, or she may get involved in a church ministry in which she winds up burning to death in an orphanage in India. But friends, this is the way to go. This is the life to live. This is the life. You'll never see it on Sex and the City, but you will read about it in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to our Bible study guides. We have one on the book of Matthew. We've got Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs and Psalms. I'd encourage you to teach your children these things as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. Be sure that your kids get the right worldview by the Word of God. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, October 27th, AD 2017. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Between October 8th and 17th, 48 Nigerian African Christians were killed by Muslim Fulani herdsmen. Hundreds of Christians were displaced, over 200 homes destroyed, and many churches abandoned or destroyed. The assault occurred despite a Nigerian army facility located nearby, where the soldiers knew about the attacks. Christians living in Nigeria, Africa make up 51.3% of the population, in a nation ranked 12th on the Open Doors 2017 World Watch List of countries where Christians are most persecuted. Jeremiah 10:25 says, "Pour out your wrath on the nations that know you not, and on the peoples that call not on your name. For they have devoured Jacob, they have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation." On Wednesday, Vice President Mike Pence spoke at the In Defense of Christians annual solidarity dinner for Christians in the Middle East. Pence addressed the state of Christianity in the Middle East as Christians face devastation returning to their homes that have been recaptured from ISIS.
You know, the Bible tells us that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And the flocks you shepherd are among the most persecuted in all of the world. It's largely what brings us here tonight. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the disciples of Jesus left their home country, they left their land, radiating outward from Israel in every direction, bringing with them the good news that is proclaimed to this day. But sadly, today, Christianity is under unprecedented assault in those ancient lands where it first grew.
Pence also called out Islam for perpetrating the persecution.
Let me assure you tonight, President Trump and I see these crimes for what they are: vile acts of persecution animated by hatred for Christians in the gospel of Christ. And so too does this president know who and what has perpetrated these crimes, and he calls them by name: radical Islamic terrorists.
At the dinner, Pence stated the U.S. would find direct ways of helping Christians after giving over $1 billion to the United Nations humanitarian aid, most of which has not gotten to those in need.
Our fellow Christians and all who are persecuted in the Middle East should not have to rely on multinational institutions when America can help them directly. And tonight, it is my privilege to announce that President Trump has ordered the State Department to stop funding ineffective relief efforts at the United Nations. And from this day forward, America will provide support directly to persecuted communities through USAID.
A new Dutch government was sworn in yesterday for the Netherlands under Prime Minister Mark Rutte, concluding the longest coalition negotiations in Dutch history, reports Reuters. The new government has four main parties, two of which, the liberal VVD and the centrist D66, support sins such as homosexuality, the murder of the unborn, and euthanasia. However, one of the other parties is very Christian, and in God's providence, the Minister for Education will be provided by the Christian Party, according to our Worldview correspondent from the Netherlands. Christians and homeschoolers there hope this will help offset the unbiblical policies of other leaders in the government. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Canadian school trustee Barry Neufeld denounced members of the education system in British Columbia for their policies on gender rights, reports CBC News. Neufeld wrote on Monday, quote, "I have to say that I support traditional family values, and letting little children choose to change gender is nothing short of child abuse," end quote. Pennsylvania students began a pro-life club recently after a 2-year battle with Parkland High School, reports Life News. Students Gray Scherer and recent graduate Elizabeth Castro filed suit against the high school for violating their free speech rights by forbidding their pro-life club. After settlement, the Trojans for Life club is now functioning. Castro stated, quote, "As a club, our purpose is to create a life-affirming culture at our school and become a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves, end quote. House Republicans passed the Senate's $4 trillion 2018 budget yesterday. 20 Republicans voted against the budget. In the close vote, Republican lawmakers approved a plan to work on a $1.5 trillion tax cut. Representative Kevin Brady, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, said this paves the way for, quote, the first overhaul of America's tax code in more than three decades, end quote. Christian NBA player Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors recently took time before a game with the Dallas Mavericks to comfort and pray with a young boy who had lost his father in a car accident. The boy's father was the brother of Devin Harris, one of the Dallas players, according to RelevantMagazine.com. A video of Curry comforting the young boy was posted on Twitter and received over 50,000 likes. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, October 27th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.